A new movie is breaking records at box offices in South Korea. Joint Security Area is about the friendships that form among soldiers across the tense border between North and South Korea. It was one of three Korean movies at the Berlin International Film Festival last month. Joint Security Area is now trying to crack the U.S. market. David Darcy reports.
Joint Security Area is the story told mostly in flashbacks of a young woman's investigation of a battle that erupted after soldiers stationed on both sides of the border forged an unusual relationship in the no-man's land that they both patrol, according to producer Paul Yi, former international director of the Korean Film Commission.
Koreans do melodramas very, very well, and most of the big hits have had strong melodramatic elements. If anything, this film is a little bit unusual. It has some elements, certainly the friendship, the camaraderie can be seen as melodramatic, but also has this very strong female protagonist, this investigator that comes in, half Korean and half Swiss. So actually, I think it stands out even within the melodramatic genre of Korean cinema.
There's plenty of violence in the film, but there are also scenes of South Korean and North Korean soldiers sitting around wasting time, drinking, singing. There's even the suggestion of a gay relationship, all scenes that would have been banned in South Korea just a few years ago.
아버지가 일찍 돌아가셔서 집에 사내라고는 나밖에 없이요.
이야, 곱다.
Joint Security Area was directed by Park Chun-wook, a former student radical. At a press conference after the film's international premiere at the Berlin Film Festival, Park said he thought he'd found the perfect location for a drama.
This demilitarized zone, the border between the two countries, is where the soldiers from North Korea and South Korea are facing each other. That is the closest they come. From South Korea, it all looks very peaceful, and from outside, it looks peaceful. But within this apparent peacefulness, there is great tension. Somebody told me that Panmunjom looks like a stage set, like a stage in a theater play. So there is a great contradiction between the internal tension on the one hand and the helplessness and even the boredom on the outside exists. So we feel this ambiguity.
Park wasn't allowed to shoot there in Panmunjom, so he built a vast stage set in the countryside to the south of two outposts with guns aimed at each other and a replica of the famous Bridge of No Return between them. Even with that construction project and with Korean stars, producer Lee Yoon says Joint Security Area was shot for just $4 million and conceived as a movie for a domestic audience.
I wanted to present an issue to the audience in a way that allowed the audience to enter into a debate on our social problems. And it was in the year 2000 that this issue was particularly dominant, the idea of the division of Korea. I basically made this film mainly for a Korean audience. I'm surprised and very pleased indeed that this and other films, which have been made mainly for a Korean audience, actually find such great success in other countries.
The film earned back 7 times its budget in Korea, more than any previous film there. And it did so at a time when the Korean economy was being restructured and some of its largest corporations were collapsing. Catherine Park, the producer of another film at Berlin, cites several reasons why Joint Security Area succeeded at the box office.
First of all, the topic itself, it has never been talked about seriously and profoundly. And I guess that is because of the timing. Because before, although there are some films talking about North and South Korea, but it's mostly against North Korea. It's sort of like educational film to make people aware that North Koreans enemies and things like that. But this one is approached very differently.
Joint Security Area was in Berlin's international competition, along with such high-budget star-driven thrillers as Traffic, 13 Days, and The Tailor of Panama. Other more modest Korean films were also looking for distributors at the festival. The Foul King is a satire about a bored businessman who becomes a professional wrestler. Tears is a realistic drama set in Seoul about teenagers who live in that city's underworld of gangsters and prostitutes. Like so many movies about self-destructive youth, it has nudity, violence, sex, profanity, and pop music, elements that Korean censors have kept off the screen until recently. But they do attract a young audience, and for producer Catherine Park, whose company invested in Tears, the film represents something important.
Diversification, because, you know, they are not just only talking about some stereotype of the story, but they are very experimental. So different kinds of films are coming up and the market is going very matured so that the audience can accept different ideas and different topics.
Tears has not been a huge success in Korea, but it's part of the mix of new Korean films that holds a 40% share of the country's movie screens, a market share that any national cinema would like to seize back from Hollywood. Koreans are now learning what American independents know. Nothing succeeds like success. With their profits and a growing audience abroad, producer Paul Yee says Korean filmmakers have finally earned respect at home. There are now 20 film schools in South Korea.
In the 70s and 80s, filmmaker was not considered a very honorable field to go into, and you cannot make much money. That's completely changed. Well, film is seen as a very high cultural form, and you can now make some money out of it. Amazingly, the Korean film industry has survived the ups and downs of the economy, and now with the complete collapse of the multinationals, a new wave of venture capitals come in to provide the financial backing for the new talent that's emerging in Korean cinema.
After showing last week at the American Film Market in Los Angeles, Joint Security Area is still looking for a U.S. distributor. For NPR News, I'm David Darcy.